The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
It's one of the boilerplate, more familiar Sunday school lessons that you'll find, maybe just because of the picture that it paints. Of Jesus standing there, and off in the distance are 10 men, all of them afflicted with leprosy. And Jesus heals them. Go show yourselves to the priests. They go off, and as they go, they find that they've been healed. And one of them, not a Jew, but in fact a Samaritan, returns and gives thanks. Jesus even notes that. He says, "Was there none found? Where are the other nine? And the one that's come back to give thanks and glory to God is a Samaritan." Is this a story there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, that's primarily about our lack of thankfulness or our need to be more thankful or how to be more thankful? We're going to be teaching that as a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We'll get into the details of the story, but is the main thrust of it, the main message of it, intended to be either our lack of thankfulness, our need to be more thankful, or how to be more thankful?
I'm not really quite in agreement with that, I don't think. I think it really is talking about faith, not that heals, but faith that saves. And, of course, there is a response to that. But it's not necessarily, I think, the main point of this event.
So you talked about a faith that saves as opposed to heals. What are you talking about there?
Yes, if you read verse 19, Jesus says to the leper who returned, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." But the word "well" also can mean to save. In fact, every time I kind of looked it up, what this Greek word meant, in Luke 7:50, where he says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you," he says before that, "Your sins are forgiven." Then in John 12, the word is used, Jesus says, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." And in Romans 11:14, "Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, because when we were dead in trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." In fact, I can give you a whole bunch of verses, and none of them refer to healing. They refer to being saved. And I think when Jesus says to him, "Your faith has saved you," it's because this particular leper who is now cleansed does something that nobody else does. He returns to Jesus, and it doesn't say that he returned giving thanks, but praising God with a loud voice. And who does he bow before? He bows before Jesus. And then Jesus himself says, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" You know, the first time any of the disciples in the New Testament referred to Jesus as God is the night of the resurrection when Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." But I think you can find numerous occasions when others besides the disciples believed that he was God. And I think here, by praising Jesus as God, then Jesus properly says, "Rise, go your way, your faith," and that is trusting that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker. He's God himself, has made you well. And there's no doubt that that word well can be translated as healed, but in regard to that which faith is connected to, it's always in line with salvation. This is really an important point we need to make, Todd. God's miracles just don't happen to believers. It's not just miracles that occur to those who have faith. The example I would give is the feeding of the 5,000. When they were hungry, remember, many of them wanted to make him a bread king. He had to flee from them. So they didn't have proper faith. Yet, every one of them was miraculously fed with those few loaves of bread and fish. We need to understand that God's miracles come even to unbelievers. It does not necessitate faith to have a miracle. But your point is that the believer then does respond with an act of gratitude, and through faith, that act of gratitude is none other than to God himself. And in this case, it was in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
So I understand you're kind of drawing a connection between those two. Feeding the 5,000, 10,000 people there.
Yes.
Were fed. They all benefited physically.
Absolutely.
And the miracle was given to them. It was freely given to them. In the same way, all 10 of these lepers are healed. They go home. They show themselves to the priest, and the priest say, "Hey, you are free of your leprosy," and they are completely healed. The one man, though, is declared by Christ righteous for Christ's sake, saved, forgiven, and that's the difference here.
Yes. Now, there will be others who will say that the other nine had faith because they refer to Jesus in this way: "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And that phrase, "have mercy on us," of course, was adopted in the church's liturgy as a cry for not just healing, but also salvation. So that may be true. And then what we would say is we have a distinction here, not between unbelievers and a believer, but between those with weak faith and that who recognized through his faith to give thanks to God and God alone. So that is an open question as to whether the other nine had faith or not. But I do want to make the point, you do not have to have faith in order to receive miracles from Jesus. I mean, how many people are healed miraculously or something happens to them and we say that was a miracle and they're not a believer at all? That's possible because God, he sends the rain on the wicked as well as on the just.
So let's talk a little bit about the way Jesus responds, because they simply ask for mercy, as you said. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." There's no more conversation between them. It says, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He doesn't do any inquisition. There's no kind of qualification for this. He simply graciously heals them.
In fact, others will point out the fact that they went meant they must have had some faith in Jesus. Well, perhaps they had heard of the many other miracles he had done. If you'll recall, when the disciples of John the Baptizer comes to Jesus asking, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're really waiting for, or is there someone else?" Then Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." So the town of Nazareth, that's Jesus' own hometown, that shows us that people were knowledgeable about Jesus' miracles. But when he came there and he wouldn't do any of the miracles like he had done in Capernaum, they got really angry at him and were ready to throw him off a cliff. What kind of faith is that? So once more, knowledge about miracles and going to Jesus to see if he'll do a miracle doesn't necessarily take faith. So perhaps those other nine lepers didn't really believe him to be the Messiah. Another good example of someone who didn't realize Jesus was the Messiah but was still a believer was the man born blind in John chapter 9. He receives his sight prior to recognizing or coming to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. Until Jesus tells him who he is, that man born blind didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. So once more, we've got examples of miracles that come to believers or unbelievers. That's why Christians shouldn't hesitate that a miracle come to an unbeliever. Perhaps it'll be the occasion when you can talk about your understanding of miracles and where they all come from, which is Jesus and him alone. So it becomes another opportunity for proper witnessing.
Before we go to the break, how would you explain Jesus' statement, go show yourselves to the priest? Some people wouldn't understand exactly the context of what he's telling these lepers to do.
Yes. The law in those days was that there had to be a separation of lepers from the regular community, because the fact that parts of your body were dying and dead, that meant you were unclean. In order to verify a healing, you go to chapter 14, and that gives the guidelines that if a leper is healed, he goes to the priest, that is verified, and therefore he is then able to go back into the community. So telling them to go and show yourselves to the priest, boy, the very fact that all of them turned around, even though they were not yet healed, because it says, as they went, they were cleansed. That either says the nine were believers to some degree, or they were so enamored with the stories of Jesus healing others. Because remember, this is not the first time that Jesus healed a leper.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, some more conversation, teaching a Sunday school lesson about Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Greetings. Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation. But as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues Etc. regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. You said before the break this wasn't the only time that Jesus healed a leper, and I'd like you to recount the at least one of the other times that he did. And then I guess the question is, he's not just healing one here. He heals 10. This is a pretty big, if you're just watching this from a distance, this seems a pretty big scale miracle for Jesus.
It certainly is. The other time that you're asking about, or one other time at least, is in Luke chapter 5, where we have Jesus healing this leper. There came a man, verse 12, Luke 5, full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, that's clearly asking for healing, not salvation. Verse 13, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one. But, and then here again, we have the same directions he gave to the ten. Go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he would even more, the report about him speak about, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. And then it says he would withdraw to a desolate place in order to pray. So there's another example where an individual was healed and he was full of leprosy, and yet he wouldn't even go to the priest. He was just so happy that he began to tell everybody about it. And that's kind of a goal that we have every time we do a worship service, a sermon, a Bible study, that somebody will go home, maybe phone a friend and say, you'll never guess what I heard in church today, and share that. That's what witnessing is about. One doesn't have to explain it all, but there's an example. And by the way, he's not the only one who kind of disobeyed Jesus and made it all abroad about the fact that he had been healed. The reason Jesus did not want him telling others is because his time had not yet come. And he knew that when enough people heard about this and his understanding of God, which was contrary to Judaism, that it would not be long thereafter that he would be put to death. And yet he had quite a bit to do. And 3 years of ministry took place before his determined walk to Jerusalem.
What is the significance that the one who returns is a Samaritan? What is Luke assume we know about this situation?
Almost difficult today in the United States to put that into updated terms, unless you said, and the one who returned was a member of ISIS. That's about the closest you can get, because Jews and Samaritans really did not like each other. Samaritans had intermarried, formerly Jewish, married with Gentiles, and therefore they were a mixed breed, and they also did not worship properly as did the Jews. They also had at times betrayed the Jews, and the Jews would consider them heretical in their beliefs. It would be kind of like somebody who is really strong and thinks Lutheranism is the only religion. So there were 9 Lutheran lepers who went to tell the priest, but the one who returned was a Roman Catholic. Oh my, isn't that terrible? Somebody might think, if they think Lutheranism is the only way of salvation. So the teacher does need to get across to the children that, who don't you like? Are there certain kinds of people? And probably they'll say, you know, those who are trying to put us to death or something like that. Or maybe they'll have somebody else to talk about. And it gives the teacher the opportunity that when Jesus did this story, well, when this event actually occurred, he also did stories like this, like the good, what's the word? Samaritan. Who would have ever thought that a Samaritan would help out a Jew and take him to an inn and take care of him? And yet that's the point that Jesus was making to the lawyer. Guess what? Your neighbor is not only your fellow Jew, your neighbor is also those people that you don't like very much. And Paul, of course, really touches that strongly in Galatians chapter 3. Where he's making this big point about those who are in the church. He says, and this begins with verse 26. He goes like this. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through what? Through obedience? No, through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is therefore neither Jew nor Greek. He could have said, Jew nor Samaritan, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are truly those of the proper offspring of Abraham, heirs according to the promise, which you believe in, which means you're saved through faith.
So what would it have said to the kind of the average Jew, especially to Jesus, opponents that are among the Pharisees and the scribes, teachers of the law, that not only does Jesus heal 10 lepers, there's really no denying, if you can heal 10 lepers, you got something. Something's going on here. But the one that returns in faith is, in fact, a despised Samaritan. What would that have said to Jesus' opponents?
They believed. And the evidence I can give you in John chapter 9, when someone had leprosy, was blind, was deaf, couldn't walk, was lame, was mute, this was a punishment from God for something he had done wrong. Remember the disciples? Why is this man blind? Is it his sin or his parents' sin? And how often do we look at people maybe we don't like very much, and bad things happen to them, and we'll say, oh, that's just God getting even with them. You know, that's just so wrong in so many ways, and it's true also with this blind man. So when Jesus healed someone, he was doing more than just giving them back their health. He was actually rebelling against God's judgment that they need to suffer these illnesses because of their sin. He was taking away the consequences of sin. Now, he truly was, because that's what he was here for. But they thought that the consequences of sin should stay. That's why they were so happy that they were saved. Luke 18, where the Pharisee says, thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. because I do this, I do that. And so Pharisees thought themselves to be truly saved because they were rich, because they had a lot of animals they could take care of, because people looked up to them, and therefore God must really be pleased with me. And it was that kind of an attitude that they had. So when Jesus goes ahead and heals these lepers who supposedly are being punished by God, he's actually going against God himself.
So they're going to view this. This is why they're going to eventually say he's doing all these miracles by the power of Satan, because God doesn't do this kind of thing.
That's exactly right. Jesus, I often say on my radio program, if you want to know the way God thinks, think commonsensically, then reverse it, and you'll be close. For example, in the very next chapter, you have the persistent widow, who is somebody who wants to get respect and justice from a judge, and she shouldn't even go to the judge. I mean, women didn't have that right there. And yet the judge does give what she needs. And then Jesus says, will not give God justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. So there are so many times when Jesus' thinking goes against the commonsensical thinking of Judaism of that day. And the healing of the lepers, the healing of the blind man is a perfect example.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take another break, and when we come back, 10 minutes with him to wrap up our Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we're going to look at Jesus' question. I don't know who he's directing it to. He says, was no one found to return and give praise to God? Maybe he's saying something about himself there. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
How is confessional Lutheranism similar to and different from American Evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is titled Being Lutheran. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Save $2 by ordering Being Lutheran during the month of May. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Being Lutheran. Here's a little bit from the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You often hear Pastor Baker mention it in the course of our Sunday school lessons every week with him, says, "These 10 lepers were outcasts, unclean, accursed, and forbidden to have the company of the healthy. Their lives prefigured the accursed loneliness of damnation, for there is neither honor among thieves nor fellowship among the condemned. The lepers could do nothing but call on Jesus and rely on his mercy alone. Their life was judgment. Only Jesus could make a difference." You see here how Christ-centered and cross-focused Growing in Christ, the Sunday School curriculum is. Concordia Publishing House will send you a free sample of this Sunday School curriculum. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday School lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers. When Jesus refers to the man having come back, he says he came back to give glory to God. Is Jesus saying something about himself there?
This is a great example why you need to have a pastor who knows the original Greek. Because the ESV, it says in Luke 17, verse 15, that one of them returned praising God with a loud voice. Well, when you look up the word praise, it's really the word glory. And the King James, the New American Standard, and the New King James, they all use the term glory, glorifying God with a loud voice. The same problem is found when you get down to verse 18, when Jesus says, "Was no one found to return?" And the ESV has, "and give praise to God." But the proper translation there is, the word praise is actually a translation of the word glory. And once more, the other translations do use the word glory. Now, that term glory is definitely an attitude that one uses toward God. So what you have then, if you take the two verses, verse 15 says that no one was found to return and give glory to God. That's verse 17. And verse 15 says, when the man was healed, he turned back giving glory to God. And then he falls at Jesus' feet. And so this was the point I think I made a little bit earlier, that from the point of view of this event, giving glory to God and giving glory to Jesus is the same thing, because he falls down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And so I would definitely say that what Jesus is indicating here, he's referring to himself as God and receiving this glory. In Revelation, at the back of the last chapter of Revelation, John is so thankful to the angel that he bows down and worships him. And the angel says, "Do not worship me, worship only God." Jesus does not say that ever in the entire New Testament when people bow down to worship him. And he never stops them from worshiping him. Therefore, it is clear he does know that he is God and does not correct Thomas, as I said earlier, the first disciple to use the term God in reference to Jesus, my Lord and my God.
Then finally, Tom, with about 30 seconds here, what would be the law and gospel of this for the kids in the Sunday school?
The law is, we think that we're saved because we're so thankful to Jesus. You know, how many times do our parents discipline us when we don't thank somebody for giving us something? Like, we'll go to a store, we get an ice cream cone, and recently the kids didn't thank the lady for the ice cream cone who gave it to her, so the mother took the ice cream and threw it in the garbage, trying to get across that point. It's easy to think, therefore, that God really loves me and he saves me because of my attitude towards him. I'm thankful, I do good works, and this sort of thing. When this incident shows very clearly that the faith that saved him was not his gratitude, but his trust in Jesus as his Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get our update, our weekly update on the November elections with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. We'll talk some media coverage of religion. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. And we'll continue our series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.